This is a very, very spoiler-heavy episode.
So we're trying to keep it to a minimum if we can.
We're trying.
Hey, welcome to the Napcast, your source of geekly entertainment. My name is David.
And my name is Seth, and welcome to the first episode of Season 2 of the Napcast!
Yay! Woo! Season 2! I can't believe it. However, we are recording this actually way in advance to the point that Season 1 hasn't even fully come out yet.
Not quite. Because of some technical issues we've been having, Season 1 is not quite live yet. We are working on that, though, and it is coming soon.
We're getting very close. That being said, by the time you hear this, Season 1 will be out,
yes.
And Season 2 will be starting. So, how about that?
And we might even be recording Season 3. Who knows?
Well, we'll see. I do like time traveling back in the past. It's so much fun. That being said, we both actually just recently saw Star Wars Episode 8. Yeah, that's how long ago this was recorded.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while.
Instead of talking about Episode 8, which we may or may not think it's a good movie, you'll find out later,
We're
going to talk about Star Wars Legends instead.
So we're taking a little bit of a detour. We started off at Season 1 last time, talking about The Force Awakens and the new Star Wars films, but we didn't really give you guys a chance to figure out why we said the things that we said.
We kept hinting about how we both have read a whole bunch of Star Wars Legends, but we never actually got around to it in Season 1.
Yeah, we've talked about Star Wars Legends and hinted for a long time that we were going to do an episode about it.
And now is the time.
Now is the time.
Finally. So to start things off,
what the heck is Star Wars Legends? Maybe we should start there.
That's a great question. Star Wars Legends are all the Star Wars books and extra stories that used to be considered canon until Star Wars Episode 7 came out by Disney. These are all the stories, like if you've ever heard of Grand Admiral Thrawn, or what in the world happened to Boba Fett after he fell in the Sarlacc, or who in the world is Darth Bane? There's a whole bunch of books about these and more. I sound like I'm giving a sales pitch, don't I?
You kind of do.
I'm not actually giving a sales pitch. I'm just really excited
about
this.
But you should read them because they're fantastic books. So in a broad sense, Star Wars Legends is all of the Star Wars extra material that was written between about 1977 and 2014.
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere
around
there.
Now, not everything that came in that time period was actually the Legends canon. Like, there were still some things that weren't canon even in the Legends universe, but now
there's a subset of that that's called Star Wars Infinities, which is, it's a what-if universe, so they take, like, the original trilogy, for example, and alter, like, one tiny story element, like, what if Luke's torpedoes had detonated too early and not actually blown up the Death Star?
So you still get some stories that weren't even canon at the time, but the Star Wars Legends canon all used to be canon, but now it is just the Legends canon because Star Wars Episode 7 has taken things in a different direction.
Yeah, so everything that's it's considered canon right now is Star Wars 7, Star Wars 8, Rogue One,
the upcoming Star Wars 9, and there are actually a couple novels out that are in this new Star Wars canon.
Yeah, they've released half a dozen, maybe a dozen novels by this point that are considered canon now.
That being said, I haven't read any of those. I'm not sure if Seth has, but that's not what we're focusing on for this episode.
Correct.
We're focusing on the Legends canon. I'm going to start things off with one of my favorite series. One of my favorite set of books from the Star Wars Legends canon is the Grand Admiral Thrawn trilogy. If you've never heard of that, that's Grand Admiral Thrawn. He was one of the Imperial officers that there used to be 12 Grand Admirals. Now, this is actually canon. I think it still is canon, but there were 12 Grand Admirals.
Yes.
One of them was killed during the time of Episode 4, Episode 5. Emperor Palpatine then, what's the word? Upgraded? Upgraded him?
Promoted.
Promoted. There's the word I'm after. So Grand Admiral Thrawn was promoted to Grand Admiral in secret. So the Rebellion didn't actually know that he was a Grand Admiral until he showed up many years after, Star Wars Episode 6. So here he is pulling the Empire all together. He basically looks like a human, except that he has bluish skin and he's got glowing red eyes, which is just awesome.
It's such a cool combination.
And so he's in charge of, not a couple Death Stars. He's in charge of a couple, what are those ships called?
Star Destroyers.
Star Destroyers. Why can't I think of words today? He's in charge of Star Destroyers, and he actually starts turning the entire tide against the Rebellion, which is now basically the New Order. The New Republic. It's not the New Order.
Because the thing about Grand Admiral Thrawn is that he's a military genius. So he's able to do things that everyone thinks are impossible and make them work.
The way that he does so, now we'll get into some minor spoilers, but we'll try not to cover too many spoilers so you can actually read the series. But he studies a species art. He's one of those people that he can look at the artwork of, for example, Admiral Akbar's species, like Mon Calamari, is the planet. The Calamari, I think, is just what they're called.
Yeah.
So Grand Admiral Thrawn can look at that kind of artwork, and he can figure out the psyche of a species. So he can figure out what kind of things they would respond to, how they won't respond, and he can actually organize military maneuvers in such a way that whoever is commanding the fleet, such as a Calamari or something like that, can't respond or will not respond correctly because of their psyche.
It's very, very Holmesian.
It is. He's such a clever character.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I reread the Heir to the Empire trilogy.
Which is what it is actually called.
Yeah, that's the official name of it. I reread that just recently, and it struck me that Thrawn and his second-in-command, Captain Palian, have a very, very Holmes and Watson-esque relationship.
And if you enjoy Holmes and Watson, like we also do, you'll enjoy the Heir to the Empire trilogy.
Oh, yes.
They actually come across a dark Jedi as well, who Thrawn ropes into his plans. He was a clone of another Jedi that kind of disappeared or died during the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so this dark Jedi, Master Sebaoth.
Everyone pronounces it differently.
I suppose if you find an audiobook, you know the actual pronunciation. But that Jedi is a clone, and so he kind of goes crazy, and he tries to convert Luke over to the dark side. And surprise, it doesn't work. Or maybe it does. We'll leave that up to you. They also introduce Mara Jade in this series, who is one of the greatest characters in the Legends canon, in the sense that, minor spoiler alert, but not really, because it's kind of commonly known to people who've read the Legends series, is that Mara Jade actually marries Luke Skywalker way later down the line.
After trying to assassinate him for about 6 years solid.
Yeah, she tries to kill him a whole lot, and this book goes into detail as to why, and it goes into detail on her backstory as well. But she, not in this trilogy, but elsewhere, actually ends up marrying Luke. And they have, I don't remember if they have any kids. I don't remember those books.
They have one. It's about 15 years after they get married.
But okay.
It's very interesting, actually, when you look at the creation of Mara Jade, because Timothy Zahn, who is the author of the Heir to the Empire trilogy, was looking at the Star Wars universe and said, hey, there aren't a whole lot of strong female characters in this world besides Leia. He set out to create another strong female lead character that was kind of like Leia, but different in that Leia is very sarcastic and Mara is very caustic in her witticisms. So they're similar, but they're also different. Both of them are strong in the Force, as you may or may not know. Mara was actually an Imperial agent for a lot of years, and there's not a whole lot of her past that's really talked about.
They do mention it enough in the books that you get a feel for why she wants to kill Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, kind of, plug your ears for the next 5 seconds or so, she does manage to kill Luke.
La 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 la.
But Luke doesn't die.
La, 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 la,
but
la, la.
He does. So we'll leave you to figure out why, because if you read the books, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But she manages to succeed and kill Luke. Another series that I really like, a bit of a non sequitur here, is the Darth Bane trilogy, which takes place on the complete opposite side of the storyline.
Interestingly enough, Darth Bane is technically canon.
In the new canon?
In the new canon. Well, because he was alluded to in The Phantom Menace.
When Yoda and Mace Windu are talking to each other, they reference Darth Bane, though they never say him by name.
Correct. So at the end of episode one, at Qui-Gon's funeral, Mace Windu and Yoda are talking, and they say, oh, there's always two Sith, because that's how it's been for the last thousand
years. But
who
was destroyed, the Master or the Apprentice?
Exactly. And Darth Bane is actually the person who created the rule of two, which is that there can only be a master and an apprentice of the Sith at any given time in history.
So he's kind of still technically canon. I'm not sure how the details all lie at this point.
I'm not sure yet.
But I feel like this series itself is still part of the Legends canon for sure, because a lot of the Legends canon does directly reference Darth Bane. For example, the book Darth Plagueis, which comes right before Darth Maul, Shadowhunter, which comes right before episode one, which is both of those books, by the way, are great reads as well.
Yes.
But back to the Darth Bane trilogy, this actually, it's like 500 or 1,000 years before episode one, or before actually the Battle of Yavin, technically, which is where everything goes back to zero.
Technically, that's how everything is dated in the Legends canon.
And this is in a time where there are whole academies of Sith running around. So there are Sith instructors that are instructing their Sith students in how to be great Sith, or I guess terrible Sith, maybe. I don't know, they've got lightsaber
classes.
Well,
they're good classes at being bad, and they're fighting the Jedi a lot, and
it's
everyone's
good to
not
be bad. When you're bad, I'm bad, and that's good. Wait, that's not how the quote goes. Something from...
All right, Wreck-It Ralph.
That's what I was trying to go. I can't remember that quote. It's so confusing to me anyways. But they've got whole instructors and academies and everything. And Bane, who is this big, huge mining fellow, he's like 6'2" or something.
6'2".
He's 2 meters even, however that translates out. He's huge. A lot of people compare him to a slightly small, hairless Wookiee, to put that in comparison. He's a really, really strong guy physically. And he finds out that he actually has an affinity for the Force. But he gets in trouble with some people with the Republic because he gambles and plays... what's the game called?
Sabacc. It's the Star Wars equivalent of Blackjack or 21.
They actually kind of go into depth on explaining how the game works.
Yeah, it's very
interesting. It's a really cool chapter. I really like that one. But, of course, you know, Darth Bane being... Well, he wasn't called Darth Bane at the time. He wasn't even called Bane. He was called Des, I think.
Dessel, like that.
I'll call him Des. I don't know. Bane, basically.
Close enough.
Uses the Force to win and manages to get himself off of this mining asteroid, or mining prison asteroid, essentially.
Basically.
But the Republic officers who he was playing against get really mad at him because he won, and they don't think he should have won, because the way that he won was, like, essentially impossible, though it works, but nearly impossible. Through the Force.
It's complicated.
You have to read it to find out. it just does sound like a sales pitch, doesn't it? My goodness. It's not
read
actually a sales
books.
Pitch.
Books are good for you.
We're not sponsored, but you know what? We can still kind of promote it. I don't know. We're not sponsored
Shameless
by
plug.
Sure. So, you know, they get mad at him and they try to defeat him, but of course he tries to get away and he goes to his favorite friend, the guy who works at like a bar. I think he's the bartender in the area.
It's always the bartender.
It is the bartender. And he advises, why don't you run off with the Sith? That way the Republic officers won't find you. So he runs off and he's actually a really, really good Sith-like soldier. Kind of like, you know, in episode 2, you've got all these clones that are underneath the Jedi with the Jedi acting as commanders.
Yeah.
This is kind of the same thing, but they're not clones. They're just all foot soldiers that are commanded by Sith or commanded by Jedi.
Essentially.
And so Bane, who still isn't Bane yet, is basically one of the best, but he gets, you know, in trouble for insubordination because one of his superiors has no idea what he's doing. And Bane basically uses the Force and snipes like 20 people in a row with one clip or something. It's something ridiculous that clearly shows he can use the Force.
While being blinded by a flash grenade.
He's completely blind. And he snipes a whole bunch of people perfectly.
Yep.
With a weapon he had never fired before, which is the greatest. And as such, he basically gets jailed for insubordination. However, the Sith find him and be like, oh, wait, this guy can actually use the Force. So they take him to a training academy. And surprise, surprise, he enjoys it there, learns a lot, suffers defeats, rises to the top, takes the name Bane. A lot of stuff happens there, and that's actually a really cool part of the book as well.
And it's
this is all the first book in the trilogy, isn't it?
It's a very interesting example of a villain protagonist.
And it's actually awesome as a villain protagonist. Sometimes people just don't pull it off, and you're just like, oh, this is a villain. This is awful. I don't really care for this guy
at
all.
Sometimes you get villain protagonists who are just super mopey and like, oh, I'm just misunderstood, and that's why everyone hates me. And you should like me anyway, reader, because I'm a villain and I'm misunderstood.
But I'm the main character, so you should like me.
Bane, on the other hand, is just straight up a villain because he
But you want him to win.
You do. He kind of fell into it at first, and then he just takes it and makes it his own, and he's a very, very compelling villain.
Yet, he's an awesome protagonist as well.
And he's a fantastic protagonist.
What is the term when you're a protagonist but you're a villain, or is it still just protagonist?
It's still just villain protagonist.
Okay, because all of the antagonists...
Well, here's a little literary side note for you guys. The protagonist in a story is just the person whom the action revolves around.
They don't have to be a good character.
Correct. Neither does the antagonist have to be a bad guy, because all the antagonist is just someone who opposes the protagonist and tries to stop them.
For example, in Darth Bane, a lot of the antagonists are his fellow students, who are, of course, evil, they're Sith, but a lot of the other antagonists are the Jedi generals.
Yeah.
And people who are legitimately good people, but because Darth Bane is the protagonist, you root for Darth Bane. And because of how well the books are written, you root for Darth Bane.
Yeah.
He's awesome. And in book 2, he gets covered, by this point, he has basically destroyed all of the other Sith, to the point that it's just him, and he has one apprentice now.
Don't tell him too much.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm trying not to spoil too much. But yeah, I won't tell you how, because that's awesome, too. But he destroys all the other Sith and takes an apprentice. And then in the second book, he gets covered by these random little parasite things called Orbalisks, I think.
Yeah, basically, it creates a chitinous armor shell around him, but it also drives him slightly crazy every time they want him to feed, because they feed off of the Force.
And they also feed off of his anger.
Yeah, so every time he goes into a rage and kills a lot of people, the Orbalisks are really happy, so they make him do it a lot.
And they give him increased strength. They do take away a little bit of his Force control, but they also make him lightsaber proof.
Yay!
So he doesn't even have to go on defense when he's fighting other Jedi. Or
always what you want when you're fighting with lightsabers.
So, you know, when they try to swing at him, he'll just bat aside their lightsaber blade with his elbow, and then he'll attack them and whatnot. So he's literally invincible, except for, like, his hands and his face.
Pretty much.
And then, of course, the only way they can be defeated is, I'm not going to go into that.
Spoilers! Major spoilers! Read the books instead.
But he does end up getting all of the obelisks removed from him.
And then and almost dies.
Then you go into the third book and you find out how his apprentice becomes his apprentice. Well, she's been his apprentice since technically the end of the first book. But you find out more about her, and you find out about, in the story of Darth Bane, when there's only two, when the apprentice finally gets strong enough, she has to, or he has to, challenge the master.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, whichever one of them is strongest will defeat the other. And then the strongest of the two, which hopefully is the apprentice if you do it right, will then take on a new apprentice. And you find out which one of the two of Bane or his apprentice is strongest, and then you find out about the new apprentice after that.
It's a very, very ambiguous ending, and
we don't want to say anything about it.
We don't want to say anything about it, except that it's really confusing, and the author, Drew Karpyshyn, actually had to come out and say certain things did or did not happen because so many people were confused about it.
Switching trains of thought away from Darth Bane, what's another good Legends canon story or series that you also enjoy?
Well, as we mentioned before, Timothy Zahn is the author of the Heir to the Empire trilogy, which in all reality kind of kickstarted the expanded universe.
Didn't he actually write that before episodes 1, 2, and 3 came out?
He did. So the expanded universe had been kind of around. There had been other books written like Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Which was, I think, one of the first, actually.
It was the first as I'm aware. It was written in 1978 by Alan Dean Foster. It kind of set in between episodes 4 and 5. And then it kind of continued on until the early 90s, and things were starting to die off a little bit. And the LucasArts creative team approached a sci-fi author named Timothy Zahn about possibly creating more Star Wars books. And he said, okay, and wrote three amazing books, which kind of kickstarted the expanded universe and launched Star Wars
memorabilia
again. I mean, it wasn't quite old enough for a nostalgia trip,
right?
But it was not quite at the point of anything else. So he just kind of wrote the books and didn't think they'd do very well, and they just exploded.
They brought people's attention back to Star Wars once again.
Oh yeah, and then he's written 6 or 7 other books over the past 30 years about Star Wars and the characters that he created. So he's one of my favorite authors within the Legends canon, because it's so hard to narrow down favorite books because there are so many of
them. That's true. Another author that I really like is a guy named James Luceno.
James Luceno is fantastic. He approaches author comparison. Zahn is a very militaristic sci-fi author. So he tends to write more like hard sci-fi and military sci-fi. So he's the one who will come up with these like random names for starship maneuvers and things. And it's really cool.
It is.
James Luceno, on the other hand, tends to go for more like political thriller type Star Wars books.
But they're still really good.
They are still really good. It's just a different facet of Star Wars.
And one of my favorite James Luceno books is a book called Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader. And you'll never guess what that book is about. It's Darth Vader. So this...
Yeah, him!
Yeah, that guy. This book is set literally right after episode 3. So it continues right after Anakin, or, you know, Darth Vader, gets his armor. And so the entire first couple chapters are all about Anakin struggling and complaining about his armor and his whole experience with that. And that chapter is so well done.
It's so cool.
And then it goes, like, there's some other Jedi that, surprise, surprise, survived Order 66.
They what?
What? And so Darth Vader hunts them down, except that he's not familiar with his new suit of armor and how to use it yet. So he's very clunky and mechanical.
And he lets them get away a lot of times.
And so some of the Padawans and Jedi in there actually go through a learning experience, and they basically, like, mature as Jedi. And at the same time, Darth Vader matures as a Sith. And it's a really, really cool parallel.
Yeah.
That's part of why I really like the book. The rest of it is just, you know, the book itself is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a good book.
James Luceno also wrote one of my personal favorites, which David mentioned earlier, Darth Plagueis.
Oh, that's right.
It's another political thriller. So for those of you who may not be familiar with Senator Palpatine in the prequel trilogy is actually the Sith Lord Darth Sidious.
If you didn't know that, you probably haven't seen the Star Wars movies.
And also, massive spoiler warning, I probably should have started with that.
Spoiler warning,
if you haven't noticed already. This is a very, very spoiler-heavy episode.
So we're trying to keep it to a minimum if we can.
We're trying. But anyway, Darth Sidious, who is Senator Palpatine, his master was named Darth Plagueis.
And Darth Plagueis is still canon because they mentioned him in episode 3. So, of course, there are a lot of theories about, well, maybe Snoke is Darth Plagueis or something like that. But I don't know anything about Darth Plagueis other than that he's mentioned in episode 3 in the canon that is now canon.
Yep.
But in the Legends canon, there's a whole book called Darth Plagueis.
Yeah, so it basically chronicles the journey of Darth Plagueis throughout his career as a Sith.
So he starts as an apprentice to a guy named Darth Tenebris.
Tenebris.
I call him Tenebris,
well,
but again,
it's actually the Latin word for dark.
Surprise, surprise.
What? He's a Sith?
Oh, and another massive spoiler for you. Vader is actually, like, slightly German or something. I don't know. But it basically means father. So, you know, if you didn't know that Darth Vader was the father of one of the main characters in the Star Wars series, well, I mean, now you know.
Oh, jeez, this sounds like an episode of Maury or Dr. Phil.
It's Morty and Seth.
Wait.
Seth and Morty?
Wait, since when did we become licensed psychiatrists?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. That must be what I got in the mail.
My document's still in the mail.
Oh.
Or maybe that was the one I set on fire.
Oh.
Tangent aside,
anyways.
Getting back to Darth Plagueis. So he starts off as the apprentice to Darth Tenebris. I'm still going to call him Tenebris because that's how I read it in my head.
Fair enough.
Sounds better to me, but again, that's why you can read it. You know, that's why reading is great. You can make up whatever you want to go with the story. So he starts as the apprentice, and then he manages, surprise, surprise, to destroy his master, and now he's the master. And then he takes on an apprentice, and they go through all the story there, and how he's actually present all through episode 1, and I think 2 and possibly 3 as well.
Well,
I'm not sure about 3.
The way it actually breaks down is the book actually starts
60-some years before?
65 years before the Battle of Yavin, which is episode 4.
Which is about 40-some years before episode 3, you know, give or take.
Ish. So it chronicles the political machinations of these two people who are secretly Sith Lords throughout that entire time period, and it's fascinating because you meet people that are mentioned in like other books and even in the films that you find out through this book that Plagueis and Palpatine were manipulating in these different ways.
So from the movies, you kind of get a sense of how Palpatine is manipulating things.
Yeah.
The book is not only Palpatine, it's also Plagueis, but it goes way more in depth and it's actually a lot of fun to read.
Oh yeah.
Back to my sales pitch voice. And actually you should really read this book right now. Okay. If you call now, nothing will happen because I don't have a number for you to call.
Yeah.
If you call the number on your screen, you're doing something wrong because
Wait,
this is a podcast.
Why is there a number on your screen? It should be just a bar.
Yeah, this is a podcast. What are you doing with the screen? Are we on YouTube? Hi, all of you on YouTube.
Hi, everybody.
What's going on here? Now that we've gotten completely sidetracked, so it's about time to wrap up this episode. So, Seth, how do you think we should wrap up the first episode of season 2?
Well, I mean, we could stick with what we've been doing all along.
That works for
just
me.
Just sing a random note.
We'll probably keep doing that. What key are you thinking? What key? Does today feel like a nice, happy, you know, orange day or... That would be E major for me.
Well, if I had synesthesia, I could probably answer you a little bit better. But
I don't have synesthesia.
I don't perceive music as colors.
I don't either, though I kind of wish I do. Sometimes I get the same kind of mood from colors that I get from different keys, but I don't have a distinct or specific association.
Fair enough. Well, this is the first episode of season 2. This is a happy day. We should do something happy.
Well, the happiest key I can think of is still E major. Like, that's a very happy key for me. So... how about you just go with the tonic and I'll go with the third? You want to do it in sequence? You start and I'll go quick jump up on top?
Yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.